But I'm a person that's kind of fascinated by origins, like where did things start? Like, whose idea was this? You know, in some ways, the very essence of what something becomes many times starts with what idea someone had and starting something off. And naturally, I'm not talking about Mother's Day. I'm talking about motherhood. And what we see very clearly is that it's all God's idea. And naturally, for the whole idea of origins, we have to turn to Genesis chapter 1 to see God's design and his intent. And what we're going to look at today is all that God has done in terms of making you a woman that would then translate to you being a mother. It might sound like you're in more of a biology class today than a theology class, but they twin together in terms of all that God placed in a woman to make her a mother. And so, therefore, in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so basically, just a glorious passage in terms of what God intends, in terms of just unfolding the creation. I mean, this is where it all begins, and there's three things to point out. First is that verse 26 really breaks the cadence that has been flowing through what has come before. All the things that God has said in the other 5 days is him speaking to elements, him speaking to aspects, physical things. You know, let light shine. Let the waters teem with things. You know, all the instructions and commands he's effectively giving, expressing his creative power through words that he speaks. But this is the first time he speaks to himself when he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. See, there's something unique about this creation. There's something unique about what God does in terms of all the glory, all the creativity, all the things that God prepared on the earth, ultimately for this last step in creation. I mean, do understand that. That all the things that have happened before this is for the sixth day. It's for humankind. The way the world has been made, the way he organized the solar system, how he organized the universe, all the things he spoke into existence was for the sake of the human creation that he would make. But, again, distinguishing that in terms of just changing this cadence, this program in terms of all the things that he's doing to now say, wait, now I'm not talking to the elements, but I'm talking about a plan. I'm talking about an intent. Like, let us, like, not now we have to think Trinity. We have to think Son and Spirit. Or actually, it might be even fitting to say that Jesus is speaking here and saying, hey, Father and Spirit, we're going to talk together, and we're going to think about this next step. Like, all these, I mean, I don't really mean this, but all these other steps I could handle. But this one, when we talk about the creation of humankind, we have to get together. And I don't think it's about ability, it's not about a power, but I think it is about intent. I think it's about desire. I think it's about God saying, you are important, you are special, you are unique in terms of what we intend to create, and we're going to have a conversation about that in terms of what he is talking about. Again, this whole idea of just how that breaks that cadence. I mean, the second thing just to recognize the absolute glory and wonder that we are made in God's image. You know, we won't unpack that this morning because that's not the intent of today's message, but to think about all that we are in terms of our distinction from the animal kingdom that makes us, again, a unique expression of God in terms of all that we would become. You know, our higher thinking, our higher morality, the fact that we recognize cause and effect, that we're able to reason through things, all the marks that distinguish us from the animal kingdom. And again, just the glory of that. Again, the value we have to God personally, but even more, I think the first step is in the terms of conversation about what God thinks about it. But the other part, this part of it is just what capacity we have. What responsibility we have. See, I see in us having God's image that balance of privilege and responsibility. Like the great privilege we have as human beings to be made in God's image, but then the responsibility that means. You know, when you think about this, I think an inherent part of that is, are we modeling that image, expressing that image in a fitting way? I mean, do you get that? Like, here is the God of the universe. He's having this conversation. He has this divine intent about what he's going to accomplish. And in accomplishing it, they're going to be in my image. I mean, do you hear responsibility? Like, here is the gift. Now go use it well. I think that is an inherent part of what is going on here. But again, just the glory that comes to every person, male and female, mother and father, everyone that's here, in terms of all that God thinks about us as human beings in creating us. The third thing is that God had an intent making us male and female. You know, I think that, you know, we can and should have great compassion for anyone in our world that has an issue with this, that they struggle with, again, what am I, who am I, whatever. But I don't think that takes away the glory of what it means and God's intent in making us distinct, making us different. That, again, as God declares this great intentionality, that this great desire, this great plan in terms of what I'm accomplishing in my purpose, an inherent part of that is that they are male and female. You know, what you could make a good argument that in order for the image of God to be expressed in humankind, it had to be male and female, that both of those dynamics had to exist, that one or the other would not have expressed God's image adequately enough. And so therefore, God had to make us male and female in terms of fulfilling his purpose, in terms of revealing himself through our creation. But that distinction is very important. And again, another thing that we embrace in terms of God's intent around that. I mean, again, just because someone may be questioning that doesn't mean that we cannot appreciate, even revel in the fact that, hey, I am a girl. I am a boy. And God had specific intent in that, both in terms of what he created each individual being to be, but then the whole plan, and we'll get to this later in the sermon. Hopefully, no, we have to get to it. So you're here for the download, okay? Regardless, I'm so much joking. I'm preparing you. No, but anyways, like God has a plan for the distinction. Like God intended for it to be man and woman. He intended it to be distinct and different in terms of all that he would fulfill and the purpose that we'd have. So again, that's what we get from this. So I want to move on from here to share information with you. Again, more biological, but I think it's an appropriate Mother's Day message. I've never talked in these terms on Mother's Day. I think it's something that you have to understand, that from the point of God saying, I've made them male and female, God made a woman unique. And in part, your uniqueness as a mother starts with your uniqueness and your value as a woman. But to see all that God has made you, that shows what his plan is for you, how where motherhood comes from, that ultimately you are a baby manufacturer. All that God has put in your body makes that possible. And so what I want you to hear and all the things that I say is God's intent and design. Like, and we have to go through a lot of information to show the prevalence of information that God has intent and design in how he's made you as a woman. And so therefore, that's what we're going to talk about today. So how God made the woman to be a mother. First of all the eggs for a woman's lifetime are stored in her ovaries. Women do not keep producing eggs. That is something I never knew. Jody over here probably knows that, in terms of being a nurse in OBGYN. But anyways, obstetrics, I should say. But anyways, you know, when you think about that, when you think about what that means about design, what that means about value, you know, one thing I would say about this is evolutionary inefficient. This is, I need to make an adverb, evolutionarily inefficient. That ultimately, If what is happening is we are an assembly of atoms and molecules and elements, and we come together by chance and by random process, so on and so forth, to enable a woman to continue to produce eggs through her life is more evolutionary efficient. See, just imagine if something goes wrong in the process of a girl being made within her mother and she doesn't have the eggs in her ovaries, she's not having children. Because she doesn't have a capacity to continue to make eggs. They're all there in the ovaries when she is made. And so therefore, you know, what you can say that about in terms of design, in terms of sovereignty, in terms of God's plan. But I think the greater thing is, again, why would that go through? Again, if it is a process of evolution, why would that be the case? Again, because you're harming the reproductive flexibility of a person. And that's a primary thing in terms of what is required in terms of evolutionary change. But we don't believe that. But to see that God put that in, that's how it works. Again, regardless of what you think about anything, that's how it works. And so you can decide what implications flow from that. In preparation for ovulation, the lining of the uterus thickens and the pituitary gland sends signals for one of the ovaries to release an egg. Next slide. Once a fertilized egg implants in the uterine wall, the whole reason that was thickened in the first place, HCG is produced to tell the woman's body not to have a period. And we know that's not an exclamation point or a comma. That word period, I actually looked that up. Like, where did that come from? And it's actually from the Greek that talks about a repeating cycle. So that's why that time of the month was identified as a period. It's actually the Greek going to the Latin, going to the English, and like it's periodus in Latin. And so, but anyways, that is the hormone that pregnancy tests look for. And you know how pregnancy tests are like really accurate? Like the fact that HCG is in a woman's body has to mean pregnancy. Like it's never present any other time. It's not like a woman has all this HCG kicking around, so you take a pregnancy test at some point in time. No. In other words, that boom, once that egg is implanted, HCG is produced, and now you know you're pregnant. And so that's why those pregnancy tests can be accurate and fairly quick, because it's a quick process kind of getting the woman's body all prepared to be a mother. Again, that's the point. All the things that God has placed in your body to make you a mother. From this point on, pregnancy is a model of sacrifice. As a woman's body prepares for new life, just about every bodily function is affected. You know, it's even amazing in terms of how the woman's body responds to a foreign body being in her body. You know, just the whole dynamic of what changes in terms of how our bodies normally respond when foreign matter comes in. I mean, what happens when foreign matter comes into a body is the body destroys it. Like it recognizes as, this is different, this doesn't belong, attack it and get rid of it. And so the fact that even the idea that a woman would take this foreign body, this foreign, you know, elements and this distinct person that is being developed in her and not reject it is amazing in and of itself. And again, how a woman's body needs to change in terms of that. Next slide. In the respiratory system, there is increased respiratory rate, decreased functional capacity, and you feel out of breath. Again, the changes that happen in order for you to be a mother, again, showing God's intent in terms of that. You know, basically, when you think about that baby growing in you, the lungs are compressed, and so therefore you breathe heavier. You know, that's a natural response in terms of what your body initiates for that. And I think, again, all you women know what that means in terms of feeling out of breath in terms of your pregnancy. The cardiovascular system. During pregnancy, the entire cardiovascular system is readjusted. Blood volume increases greatly. More blood vessels grow. And the pressure on the uterus on large veins causes the blood to slow in its return to the heart. There's increased cardiac output, and the resting heart rate increases. So again, it's all this dynamic of what happens in a woman's body that, again, once this life has to be sustained, once, you know, I've got to manufacture this human being, now all of a sudden your body isn't as important anymore. All the things that you're doing that can maintain your body isn't enough. And so therefore there has to be other things that kick into gear in terms of what functions you accomplish for the sake of the child within you. And again, and that's the origin of Mother's Day. So the gastrointestinal system, as the uterus enlarges, the stomach, intestines, and surrounding organs are displaced. Progesterone relaxes the lower esophageal sphincter. Decreased gastric mobility can lead to constipation, also increased reflux, resulting in heartburn. So just imagine all the systems that normally work. Again, ladies, you know, the moms, you know the difference of not having children in you and then having children in you. Everything is disrupted. Everything is turned upside down in terms of how the body normally functions. You know, when you think about, again, how all these, the intestines and such would be constricted in terms of flow, the whole idea of this relaxing of the esophageal sphincter is just easing, like the normal stop that would be there is decreased so that things just flow better. Again, so you can continue to eat and maintain your health in terms of what is needed for both you and the baby. But I think all mothers understand the heartburn that comes, but that's all part of, it's all part of the system. There certainly has to be, I mean, radical changes to the breast. I didn't want to go too much into this in terms of just all the things that are happening in you to make them food producers. I mean, just think about that. The glory and wonder of, again, you produce a child, you produce a human being inside you, and then you have the capacity to feed it when it's out of your body. Miraculous, glorious, what a mother is all about, all part of God's intent. The endocrine system, hormonal changes readjust the entire body system. This is amazing. The placenta acts as a temporary endocrine gland. It produces large amounts of estrogen and progesterone by the 10th or 12th week of pregnancy. It serves to maintain the growth of the universe, helps control uterine activity, and is responsible for many of the maternal changes to the body. Women may experience hot flashes due to all this hormonal activity. You know, we are very much, you know, just skimming the surface in terms of this information. You know, when you think about, if we were going to look at this biochemically, like if we were not just going to look at this anatomically or physiologically, but look at this in terms of biochemistry, there are literally thousands upon thousands of processes that are happening in terms of what the gut, what the body is doing chemically to make this happen. You know, I love what an OBGYN told me as we were having a conversation as Karen's contractions weren't happening the way they should. So naturally, you're in the room and you're talking and so on and so forth. So, you know, he says that, like when you think about the whole idea of birth defects and how tragic it is when birth defects happen, he said that there are so many things that have to go right in terms of a baby going from, you know, that time in the uterus to then going out of the mom. So many things have to go right. The miracle isn't that, or the amazing thing isn't that there's birth defects. The miracle is that there's babies born normally. In other words, that there's so many things that could break. There's just too many things that happen that have to happen right in terms of moving things along. And so the amazing thing in terms of normal pregnancies and normal births is, again, the miracle of God. It's what God has designed. It is what God has put in place to make you a mom and how he has equipped you uniquely in terms of that. Again, this has the hand of God's design all on it in terms of all that he seeks to do to make you a mom. The parathyroid gland increases in size slightly to manage the increased need for calcium. The posterior pituitary gland releases oxytocin to initiate labor. The anterior pituitary gland releases prolactin to stimulate the production of milk. Next, the urinary system. The increased size of the uterus presses on the bladder and urethra causing bladder control issues. The kidneys must work extra hard processing and excreting the waste of both the mother and the fetus. Now, this is amazing to me when you think about this system, this excretion system. Like, when you think about all the different systems that are being developed within that baby as it grows within the mother. And a lot of those systems for the baby are kind of independent of the mother. Like the brain activity, the heart activity, it's all like, you know, some things that God is putting in place. But what's one thing that can't be done by the baby in terms of just them being exposed to what's happening? And that's things that would be excreted from their body. You know, that can't be in the uterus. And so therefore, that's one system where God says, okay, the mother has to take care of that. All the waste products that are going from the baby have to be transferred to the mother, and so that's why the mother's kidneys, you know, work harder. You know, if you feel tired as a mom, not only is there physical strain, but there's internal, like your body is more active internally in terms of what it's producing that causes you to be tired. The musculoskeletal system changes. There is a realignment of the spinal curvatures to maintain balance. So your back actually changes so that, again, you don't fall over when you walk. Ligaments become softer, causing back and pubic pain. The ligaments in the pelvis loosen in preparation for labor. Again, all the things that God does, all the things that God has placed in you as women. I know all the women, all the ladies here that are not married and now they're wondering, do I ever want to have a baby? This is not to discourage having babies, but this is again, how you have been created, how you have been designed, all the things that God put in place. And I know it's kind of hard information to go through. I know there's some people that love it. Like, if I was in the congregation, I like biology, and, you know, a lot of other people are like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're talking about this. But I have to give all the information to show you the prevalence of what's here. Like, this isn't just a couple of things. Oh, this here over here shows God's design and God's intent in terms of what he makes you as a mother. No, everything is affected. Every system has to go through changes in terms of accommodating this new life. I mean, if there's anything, again, that shows God's intent about what he would seek to accomplish, what he would seek to do in terms of making you a mother. See, again, when you go to Genesis 1 and say he made them male and female, this is the made them female part. Made them female is all the things that God placed in you that allows you to be a mother and how physically equipped you are for that. The next slide, is it? Yeah, so what's the point? I just made my point. It's all part of God's design and purpose. Again, God had an intent. Like, what we see, like, in the normal course of things, in terms of guys and girls getting together and having babies and mothers carrying babies and new life starting, that's exactly what God intended. When God said here, let's make them male and female, and then he puts all that in a woman's body, that's the intent. When he follows this up by saying, now be fruitful and multiply, that's God's intent in terms of sustaining the human race in terms of all that he would desire. Again, motherhood was his idea in making you a woman. See, are you a birthing person? Yes, you are. In terms of all the physical dynamics that are in you that make you uniquely able to do this. But you're far more than that. We know that motherhood is far more than just the physical aspects of what you suffer. You know, he equipped your body with everything it needed to make it happen. And we know that the sacrifices that your heart makes continue after labor, doesn't it? And in other words, you sacrifice in terms of the whole idea of carrying a baby and birthing a baby, but then once the baby comes out, your sacrifices are even greater in terms of the care and concern that you have, the things you deny yourself, the things you set aside, the behavior you tolerate, the behavior you correct, That the sacrifices you make in discipline and guidance and late nights and feeding and all the different things, that is an inherent part of what being a mother is. Again, that is the mark of a mother. That is what God has made you to be. Again, the whole point of what we're talking about here is motherhood is God's desire. It's God's design. It's God's purpose. He's the one that thought of it. So in the fact in the 1950s or something like that, America decided to declare a day where mothers are honored, more than fitting. More than fitting that this person that God is uniquely equipped to make a baby and protect it and keep it and feed it, that that be honored. Because part of honoring motherhood is honoring God. Because he's the one that made it possible. No one else could have done that in terms of what they could create. Like, you can't fabricate that. Like, there's too many things that have to come together to try to make a baby outside of a mom. I know they'll try, but I don't believe there will be success in that, because there's just too many things that need to come together. And now you are uniquely made as a female to complete what God intended. As God made them male and female. But what's interesting in this whole dynamic is that in order for you to complete what God intended, you need to go with this guy. This is just the typical guy, okay? In other words, you will not, like all those things that we saw, all the things that a lady's body goes through and all the things that do to produce a baby, without that guy, without your guy, the next slide, fill in the blank, it won't happen. So again, God's intent in making them male and female in terms of all that he would complete. And I think first and foremost, it is for the man and woman themselves. You know, when you think about why God would make them male and female. See, I don't think God's intent in anything is because I want to make it easy. I want to make it comfortable. In fact, the intent in making them different is just the opposite. I think the intent in making them different is the idea that God's goal, God's desire, really in anything, is to complete us and cause us to be dependent on him. And so what happens in terms of a male and a female being together is you're completed by each other. You're complemented by each other. Like you have different ideas. You have different things. The frustration that comes with, oh my gosh, why do women do that? Oh my gosh, why do men do that? Why can't I just make my husband? Women have been trying to change men all throughout history. But why is that? Because God wants the struggle. He wants you to be, again, complimented. Like I learn more from people that are different from me than the people that are the same. Now, it's nice to be with people that are the same. Like, I hang around with conservative people. I hang around people that studied economics and political science. I hang around with Christians. Yeah, that's easy in terms of, like, okay, there's agreement, there's no conflict, I don't have to really work hard, so on and so forth. But now, all of a sudden, you're with people that are different. And what does that do? That challenges me. That deepens me. That makes me more complete, more understanding. And so therefore, again, you can't miss God's intent in terms of what he's creating there. And I think, you know, part of it is biological. Part of it is it's male and female in terms of making a human being and the gender that will be determined and so on and so forth. But I think it's also about their relationship. I think it's also about kids. I also think that the best combination of what comes in terms of raising children is having the male and female influence on the child. And so whether you're a boy who has a mom and dad, or you're a girl that has a mom and dad, that's the best dynamic. I mean, when you think about the greatest distinction that exists in the world is between men and women. Wouldn't you agree? In other words, at just about 50%, like all the things, like what's your chance of running into this kind of person? You know, there's only 10% of people that are like that, or there's 5% of people like that, or there's 20% of people like that. There's 50% of the people that are different from you in that aspect. And so therefore, what I believe is that we have to be trained, we have to be skilled with the ability of dealing with different people. And so therefore, if I'm a girl, I need to learn from my mom what it means to be a girl. But I also need to learn from my dad what it means to be a boy. And if I don't get that, then I'm missing something in terms of what I need to understand about how the world functions, how that other gender that is so different from me, how they function. And so again, when you think about what God's intent is here, all that God declares in terms of his design, it's right here. And in some ways, you can't talk about Mother's Day without talking about fathers. Because guess what? Mothers don't exist outside of fathers. Fathers don't exist outside of mothers. But again, what we believe about ourselves, the conviction we carry, the thing that affirms us, the thing that affirms you ladies this morning, you moms this morning, is God had a point to make. God had a purpose to fulfill. And in what he made you as a woman that makes you uniquely able to make a baby and then care for a baby, it's miraculous. It's glorious. And, you know, I actually meant to set up that first slide. Bring back the guy. I meant to set this slide up by saying, like, you take all that's in a woman that is, like, glorious, miraculous, wonderful. By the way, you are the highest expression of God's creation. And all that a woman is, and then you're going to meet him with, connected to this guy? Like, really? Like, you think you have the privilege of being connected to her and all that God has made her? And that's what needs to be in our minds, guys. That, wow, look at all that God made in her, and you have a very small contribution. The contribution gets later in life, you know, and you know, you're doing the disciplining and you're doing the correction, your heart is aching too. But not like a mother's, not one who is intimately connected to her children, more significantly connected. I think there are things that happen in that 9 months that never go away. Like, there's an aspect of you, that baby, hearing your voice, you know, sharing your bodily dynamics, all that's going on with you, and even your emotional state, even the things that you're thinking in the context of that, the baby is sharing. I think there's an indelible mark, there's an indelible connection that happens. That the most natural thing is to flow into respect. The most natural thing is to flow into regard. The most natural thing is to lead to appreciation. I mean, certainly by children, but also by the guy. By the one who we become the ones that are privileged to participate with this uniquely created person that is the beginning of life, is the welcomer of life, the sustainer of life. And maybe I was led to this passage because all these things are getting confused. All the world is missing. It's missing this. You know, how much is resolved in, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Pretty simple. Complicated in the process, complicated in the practice, but very simple in terms of this was God's plan. This was God's intent. This was God's design. And to me, I know what that biological information to me, it caused me to be more and more convinced of all that God did to show that he did it on purpose. To show that the plan of a woman being a mother started with just what he created in a woman to have that capacity to do those things. And so let's bow and let's pray as we even prepare ourselves for communion this morning. And so, Father, we are grateful in terms of all the marks of creation that you place in our lives, the things that you have done to show clearly what your plan and your design is. I just pray for that. Father, as we engage with the world that thinks differently than this, Father, I pray that we would not be shy about the truth, but we'd also be compassionate in terms of just what state people are in terms of what has brought them to that place. And I just pray that we would be effective witnesses to the truth because of the care and the compassion we have for people rather than just desiring to be right. And so, Father, I just pray as we engage in America in terms of the freedom that people have, I pray that we would also recognize that in terms of our conversation and interaction with the world. But Father, most, we do pray and thank you for all the glory that is yours in terms of all that you have orchestrated in motherhood. I pray that even as we take communion and we continue to consider just the aspect of motherhood in that, I just pray that you just help us to continue to grow and appreciate for who you are and all that Jesus is as well. And so we lift this all in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.